How well do you know the spirit realm? Acts chapter 17. This is probably second after Revelations chapter 4. I love Acts chapter 17. From verse 24. Verse 24. This is a powerful revelation. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Next verse. It says, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Next verse. And hath made of one blood all nations of men. Now, this is a deep thing. I promise I'll teach on it. I touched on it sometime when I was teaching on the office of men. Your first identity before you, before even your spiritual identity that you know of, is your identity as a man. In the spirit realm, and I was explaining to someone the other day, that God, when he made man, he said, let us make man in our image. This was before man fell. And that man that he made in his image was body, soul, spirit. Are you with me? So, before the fall, flesh was included in the purpose of God. You're getting what I'm saying? That's why even though you die and leave this earth, there will be no point where you don't have a body. You see? You will be body, soul, spirit. Okay? So he says here, he hath made of one blood all nations. In the spiritual realm, all these demons and all these spirits, while we distinguish ourselves according to skin color, origin, they call all of us children of God, or they call all of us sons of men. We are one category, men. While we're busy fighting each other, I'm white, I'm black, I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm Ugandan, I'm Kenyan. In the spirit world, you're all just men. Okay? Okay. He has made of one blood, so all of us, one blood, nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. This is very, very important. What it means is that, before any of you are born, and I've taught this before, God appointed your time. Now, the understanding is this, and I need you to get it like this. There have been hundreds, probably thousands of people that lived before you, but God chose you to be born in this generation. Now, if you read through scripture, you would understand that the importance of the things that God does increase with time. Are you with me? To the extent, especially from the cross onwards, the work that God is doing is a redemptive work until we come to the end of the age where all things have been made new. The fact that you're in this last generation means you're important. You could have been in those chaps, the early ones, but you're amongst the last ones. Meaning, you're not just Kayola, you're not just a makeup person, you're not just a cook, you're not just a media person. There is something deeper, which I'm going to explain. I want you to understand, everyone can see, this is past, this is present, this is future. Oh Lord, I wish you would. This is past, present, and future. There are three people before me. One represents past, one represents present, another future. The way we see time, we see it chronologically. So you only see time based on where you are currently. And what you've been through, and what you hope to go through. That's how we see time. And I've taught this before, that God, from his abode, sees all time at once. Now you think you might understand what that means. I'm going to break it down for you, because it's extremely deep. God sees past, present, and future as now. Now if that is true, to God, all this is happening at the same time. Yes? Because he stands outside of time. He's like me. He's standing outside of it. We are inside it. Okay? is a created thing. For his own purposes, we see in the book of Genesis that the sun, moon, and stars are the first instance of time that is created. Then later, chronological time starts when Adam falls. So God creates time for his own purposes. You have kinship with time because both of you are created. Are you with me? In fact, even though both of you are created, you're of a higher rank than time. Okay. Okay, now, God sees all of this at once. I'm going to take me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, I believe it's verse 32. I like to turn to my own version here. I believe it's verse 32, yes. God, this is one of the deepest mysteries, another mystery in the Bible. God says, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Yes? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, I found somewhere theologians arguing over this. This doesn't make sense. Because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from our realm are dead. Huh? But then Jesus adds and says, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, there are two ways you can look at this. Two ways. One way is that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when they died, they are before the presence of God. Their spirits are before the presence of God. And so he's the God of the living and not the dead. That's one way. But the actual way you should look at it is this way. In our past, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob existed. But they're not in God's past. You're with me? So the way God sees time, the way he sees it, he sees you in the present, at the same time seeing Abraham in the present, at the same time seeing Isaac in his present, at the same time seeing Jacob in his present. So when you're praying to God, he listens to your prayer in the present, but he's still talking to Abraham. Because to him, Abraham is not in the past. Okay, okay. All time to God is taking place at once. So while you think Abraham died long ago, to God, he is. I'm getting somewhere with this. This is very, very important. Which means the concept of time to God and in God does not exist. God comes to Moses in the past. Your past, you've read it in the Bible. But to God, it's not past. It's happening. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is happening. So he comes, Moses goes up a mountain. He says, show me thy glory. The same God is showing up at the Mount of Transfiguration to Jesus. You're with me? And who shows up? Moses. Now, the perception people have is that Moses came from the dead. That does not have to be. God can take a person from their dimension to a dimension in the future. Come on. Amen. Come on. Are you guys with me? You're with me, eh? So God can pick a person. He gets Moses. Moses says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Because time is framed, the partitions between different times are portals. And anyone who knows how to find a portal can transfer themselves from one dimension to the other. So Moses shows up at the Mount of Transfiguration. But he's not coming from a dead world. He was on Mount Sinai yesterday. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. It doesn't say to heaven. We're the ones who add our own. It doesn't say that. So Enoch walked with God and was no more. Okay? He's taken somewhere. Can I quote? You see, do you know that Psalms 151 was found? There are 150 Psalms. Psalms 151 was found about 10 years ago. Who knew that? Okay, new information. Okay? Psalms 151, you go and Google it. It's actually on display in Israel. But they can't add it to the Bible because the perception is the Bible that we have is enough. Eh? Eh? If you don't get saved with this one, eh? Then if they had 151, I don't know. Eh? But Psalms 151 was found. In Psalms 151, David speaks about himself. Eh? Now, the reason why I brought that up, eh, is so that you can understand that there are books that are outside the Bible that speak of mysteries that connect to the Bible, but we don't call them the Bible. Yes? Okay. That having been said, if you get offended, it is okay. Huh? But I want to quote for you something that I found interesting in the book of Enoch. Eh? In the book of Enoch, in a chapter 105, something happens because Enoch wrote the book, right? There's a man called Methuselah. You know Methuselah? He was the longest living person as far as we know. As far as we know. He lived what? 969 years old. Methuselah, in the book of Enoch, gets a wife for his son, huh? Called Lamech. Then it goes on to say that Lamech sleeps with his wife, and the wife gives birth to a child that is peculiar. The child was white of skin and had red hair. That child will later be called Noah. Okay? Are you with me? So they describe how... Now, there's strange things in there because apparently when Noah was born, he had red hair, white skin, which the father was scared about because he had never seen such a thing in his life. Lamech. It even goes on to say that when he opened his eyes, they lit up the room. Then it says that the child, when he was passed from handmaiden to father, he began to speak righteousness unto God. The child. No wonder people read this said, this can't be the Bible, man. He said, what's going on here? Eyes lighting up room, what the? He threw it away. Anyway, I want to show you, because this is very interesting. Eh? Lamech is worried. After hearing the child speaking, he's afraid. So he goes to his father Lamech and says, a child strange has been born unto me. Methuselah, then, by that time, Enoch has been translated. Methuselah, imagine this is Enoch writing. Methuselah then went to the ends of the earth to look for me. Enoch is writing. So your Enoch is not in heaven. I am using this as an example. He says, Methuselah went to the ends of the earth to look for Enoch and found him. And where was he? He was amongst the angels. Now, I'll teach on that one day, that your angels are not just in heaven. So, he's amongst the angels. Then he goes to him and says, a child has been born to my son. Peculiar. And long story short, Enoch tells him that child was born to save the earth because God is going to flood it. And from that story, and I believe this book found has actually, and I believe it was written by Enoch. But you can refuse. It's okay. You don't have to. This part of the message, you just black out, eh? Until I get to my point. So Enoch was at the ends of the earth. He was not somewhere in heaven. Are you with me? Now, ends of the earth can mean a number of things. We'll teach that someday. But this Enoch was translated from a point at the beginning, seventh from Adam. And then we possibly see him at the end amongst the two witnesses. Now, to you, years have passed. To him, I was just there yesterday. And God picked him and took him to the end. There's a man of God called John Paul Jackson. Powerful man of God. He died a few years ago. A prophet of God. He had an experience that I think we need to get to, because I've had something similar. But his was on another level. He goes to Israel with a group of people, including his wife. He's sleeping on his bed one night, and the ground starts shaking, the bed starts shaking, and two beings appear before him. And says, so he turned and saw two beings, and they said, John Paul Jackson, the Lord is of need, is of need of thee. Ah, picks him and takes him. So he said, he found himself just flying at full speed and landed in Jerusalem, but 3,000 years in the past. I said, today, what is this? Eh? So he lands in Jerusalem 3,000 years in the past. And he said when he landed, he found himself in robes. And the angels were nowhere, but he had an instruction in his spirit. Go throughout the street and speak about David. Now, the time that he landed in, David had just been anointed as king. Okay? And Saul had been rejected. All right? But Saul was still... And so he's still trying to make sense of what's happening. And he said the first thing that he experienced was the atmosphere, the smell, the stench, mixture of urine, he said soil, dirt, feces. And he looked around, he saw people were extremely dirty. Now most of us in Bible movies, you see guys clean. you can't walk in that dust. And he said kids were covered in mud, and it killed his movie perception. Eh? Anyway, so he says he sees all this dirt one. So he's standing there and he realizes that when people are speaking ancient Hebrew, his mind interprets it into English. And his mind would interpret in English and then he would find himself speaking ancient Hebrew. Okay? Very interesting scenario. So he speaks to these guys and inside him he has an assignment. And he tells them that David is going to be the future king and he'll be the greatest king you've ever had. And people are standing there and some of them believe him, some of them don't. And according to his experience, he says he was there for hours, maybe even days. And he started thinking about his wife that he had left behind. Because you know in the US, in Uganda it's late, but in the US, when someone is missing, you can't get your insurance until after 7 years. Because they might be found. Eh? You understand? So he was thinking, my wife, 7 years. He's thinking, like no more human perception. Meanwhile, he's here speaking Hebrew, getting to know people. Long story short, he says he walked down a street saying the same message. David is going to be king, and so on and so forth. And so while he's standing there thinking to himself, what do I do next? He looks across the road and sees David, young David. Now, should I stop?
No!
I already have you. You can have your seats. I think people keep them in your mind. So he looks across and sees young David. Now David looks and sees him and he's watching him. He's talking to a group of people, but he's watching him. So he says he decides to walk away, and suddenly David says, you first come. But in Hebrew, eh? So he says, you're talking to me? He says, yes, first come. So they meet in the middle of the road. Now he describes David as having dark red hair that flowed. It's not curly, flowed. I said at that time, because he's a young man, he was short, you know, and his hands, he says, were like baby's hands. That's what he says. So David looks at him and says, I know who you are and I know who sent you. And he says, we shall meet again. Now, I want you to understand just from that scenario, young David was prophetic. At that age, had a relationship with God to be able to know when someone is not of his world. Some of us here, we welcome angels unknown. You're just like, you mean that was an angel? But here is a guy at 17, maybe 18, who knows, years old. And already, all these guys have been talking, all these people have been talking to this guy and don't know. But he just looks at him and he knows who he is and who has sent him and why. And he said, when David said, we shall meet again, two carts passed, because they were in the middle of the road. One cart full of melons passed behind him, another one in front of him, and he found himself in his bed. Now, he asked the Lord, what's the purpose of this? And the Lord told him, and this is extremely deep, he told him, there is a deeper dimension to the cloud of witnesses than you know. Because people think cloud of witnesses are just saints who just come, they can come from the past. And the Lord told him, I never do anything without a witness. So he picked a man from 2010, took him 3,000 years late, so that he could be witness of what God was going to do. Now, the same happens even in the past, because time is the same. It's not, it hasn't gone. People are moving back and forth. It is happening now. People are moving back and forth. And so someone from the past can appear in the present as a witness. That's why you see in the book of Nahum, chapter 2, someone is describing helicopters. And he doesn't necessarily have to have seen it. He was taken. He could have been taken there. Are you with me? Are you with me? So here's my point. God is omnipresent. He lives in all circumstances, all scenarios, all places. There is no place where God can go. For example, if I move from here to here, where I've moved to, I was not there. But that doesn't, it cannot happen with God. God cannot move to a place he was not. Because he was already there. Huh? And so there's no such thing as a place where he isn't. So if he's in all time, he sees you when you're born, sees you when you do that kasin, and still gets you born again. And I'm telling you, even at this point, when Jesus turned to his disciples, he said, lo, I will be with you even unto the end of the age. There are two ways you can look at that scripture. Either Jesus is talking to the disciples and to generations that will read his scripture, the scriptures, that I will be with you. Or Jesus is actually in every age, every scenario, every point. And he says, I'll be with you until the end of the age. So right now, God is with you. But right now, you're also in eternity celebrating for the work. Are you getting me? For the work that you've done. Oh my God, this message. That is why you can understand grace. Because it's not a right now thing. It has been completed from the time you were born until the end. If you understand that truth, you can't surprise God. You can't come up, now, people can come up with new ways to sin and surprise us. But you can't surprise God. Now, if that is true, and it is, okay? Why do you worry about tomorrow?